My name is Tony Greenstein. One of my claims to fame is being the first Jewish person to be expelled from the Labour Party. I've been an anti-Zionist most of my political life. I think because I get angry about so many issues, I decided I would blog on it. And since blogging had become the fashion, I started in about 2008 and I've continued ever since. I haven't run out of issues.
You know, why so anti-Zionist? I mean, there is all this stuff in the Bible about, you know, this is the Jewish land, isn't it?
Well, it is, but I mean, God, if you believe in God, expel the Jews from Palestine. The whole myth about Jewish return to Palestine is actually a Christian myth about the Jews having been expelled because they didn't recognize Jesus. It wasn't a Jewish myth, but the Bible doesn't say Jews should return. On the contrary, all the rabbis used to say the Jews shouldn't return, and there was nothing to stop them for 2,000 years until colonialism came along. So it's all a load of nonsense, really.
Explain this idea of the diaspora then. What's the point of Jews being out there but not actually getting together and getting their own country?
Well, being Jewish is a religion, it's not a nationality, so there's no reason why they should have a country. They live in the countries they live in, just as Christians do. I mean, you wouldn't say that it should be a Christian state or a Muslim state for that matter. Because if you do have a religious ethnic state, then you automatically discriminate against those who are not part of the religion. And that's a problem in Israel.
Tony will argue that they get persecuted in various countries. They need somewhere where they can feel safe.
Well, unfortunately, what's happened is by setting up an ethnic state, they simply replicated that persecution against the Palestinians. The best way to fight persecution in the country is to oppose it. You oppose racism, you don't run away from it.
Yeah, well, okay, so what about this recent case with the Christian vicar from Virginia Water in London, who has had a real tough time because he went and actually visited the Holy Land. He's actually written books about it, and he was then admonished for criticising the Israeli state particularly. So can you just take us through his tale?
Yeah, I mean, his name is Stephen Sizer. He's written books about Christian Zionism, of which he is an expert. He has expressed and given practical solidarity to the Christian community, in the especially the religious Christian community in Palestine. And that is the reason why the Board of Deputies, which is riddled with Islamophobia and other forms of racism, has been gunning for him. It's got nothing to do with anti-Semitism. That's always a pretext. The Board of Deputies isn't concerned about genuine anti-Semitism. It just considers that supporting Palestinians is anti-Semitic. And they targeted him, and Justin Welby, who's an extremely right-wing Archbishop of Canterbury, set in train a disciplinary process which has led, I've called it the crucifixion of Stephen Sizer. It's absolutely outrageous. He's been barred for 12 years from ministering as a result, and he's done absolutely nothing. He's never made a single anti-Semitic comment. The only thing they've accused him of is linking to anti-Semitic sites. Well, I mean, we all do that. It's not always possible to discern from a site when you go to a particular article that other stuff is dodgy. It's just guilt by association at the second or third stage, typical McCarthyism. I mean, that's really what has happened.
Now, initially, I know he posted, didn't he? I think it was on his Facebook page. A link to a Wikispooks article saying 9/11 Israel did it, and I think that was what initially caused consternation within the Church of England. So he was able to keep his job as the vicar in Virginia Water, but I remember at the time hearing this extraordinary pronouncement from the Church of England that he wasn't allowed to make reference to the Middle East in any of his sermons.
Yes, it's absurd. Well, that was what it was about. It was about the Middle East. That they were really concerned. It had nothing to do with 9/11. I mean, you could say Stephen was foolish to post a link, but to that article, but even if he did, I mean, saying Israel was responsible, I think it's quite batty, but it's not anti-Semitic. Israel is a state. I mean, it's not a Jew. So, I mean, you can be anti-Israel, by definition, that is not anti-Semitic.
But you take us through an incredible tale in this blog post, Tony, including the sort of Thatcher era and Thatcher's protection of one of her very, very close, I think it was Peter Morrison, one of her MPs. So how does that relate to his tale?
Well, it relates to it in the sense that Welby is a right-wing Archbishop of Canterbury who has behaved in a very similar manner to Archbishop George Kerry, who, if you remember, protected child abusers in the church. And that's basically what Welby has done. He's protected people guilty of child abuse. And I've said that the right-wing in this country has a penchant for exploitation of children. I mean, because it's part of their free market philosophy. I mean, why not? And Thatcher, who was, you know, anti-gay and a Victorian prude in so many ways, turned a blind eye. I mean, not just to Peter Morrison, but, I mean, of course, Jimmy Savile was a favourite of hers. So the ruling class in this country has always seen working class kids as legitimate prey, if you like. So, I mean, that's a connection. It's a right-wing nexus.
Well, he was in the oil business for a long time, the current Archbishop who's overseen this.
Well, yes, indeed. That's where his sympathies lie. So I have suggested that he'd be better employed going back to the oil industry. I mean, it was quite outrageous. I mean, 2013, I think it was, he said we shouldn't name and shame bankers. Well, God's sake, bankers were responsible by bringing down the banks, if you like, and then being bailed out by you and me for what austerity, where the poor paid for the crimes of the rich, you know. But of course, if someone is on the dole and that, they say free market politics dictates that their life should be as miserable as possible. So he was defending his own class, nothing more.
Now, Welby was also, you point out, there's a lot of stuff in here that I know, you know, many people reading it will think, oh, well, I didn't know this about the arch. He seems to have had almost every job under the sun. One of them was as a dormitory officer at some kind of camp held in the Dorset village of Iwern Minster, where various dodgy things were going on.
Well, indeed, it beggars belief that he wasn't aware of some of what was going on. I just don't believe it. He was exchanging Christmas cards with this abuser who was beating children and spoke of him as a highly pleasant person. You know, I mean, if that kind of thing goes on, I mean, it's bound to be known by others because it's usually carried out by more than one person anyway. So here is Welby, witch hunting Stephen Sizer for a minor error at best, and yet his own culpability is never called into question. He should have resigned on the spot. He should submit himself to a church disciplinary tribunal, but he has no honesty and no integrity, so of course he won't.
So what other jobs has Welby had, and what other, shall we say, dodgy kind of areas, marshes, has he kind of sunken into? Because he does seem to have made quite a lot of indications that maybe he's not the holier-than-thou character that an archbishop should be.
Well, that's right. I mean, you can compare him, and I have compared him to previous archbishops who were not afraid, in the case of, say, Robert Brunsey, of getting up Thatcher's nose. Welby has made a point of not offending the British establishment. I mean, he's one of them. He was born to them. He went to school at Eton and then Cambridge. So that's where his sympathies lie. I don't know his whole life's history, but clearly he owes more to Mammon than God.
So what's the process, and what's happened to Stephen Sizer now? Because this has been going on for a decade or more.
Yep, they've been witch hunting him ever since. For over a decade. And you know, the idea that the Board of Deputies, which told Jews never to oppose fascism in Britain, told them to stay indoors when Mosley was trying to march through the East End, is seriously concerned about anti-Semitism, beggars belief. If you're anti-Semitic, the chances are that you support Israel. Bannon, Trump, Tony Robinson, Andrei Brevich, the whole list of them. Because if you're anti-Semitic, what better solution is there to the Jewish problem, as you call it, than sending Jews to their own state, their own reservation? So it was not about anti-Semitism. It was about Israel, and it was about Zionism. It was about getting rid of one of their most trenchant critics. We all know that.
So how are the Board of Deputies involved? Surely this is a church, Welby's own investigation is done here.
Well, the Board of Deputies brought the complaints in the form of the two, the president and ex-president, that's Marie van der Zyl and Jonathan Arkush. They were the ones who made the complaints.
I'm getting very confused here, because this is a Jewish organisation which is playing a role as prosecutor in a Church of England decision.
Well, I don't know whether they were the prosecutors, but they set the process off in motion. They lobbied for it. They campaigned for it. And they did it partly via the Council of Christians and Jews, which is a nefarious organization, an interfaith group. And basically, the Jewish component, or it's really the Zionist component, agrees to have nice lovey-dovey meetings and a shared consensus on the basis that the Christians will accept their guilt in the Holocaust and expiate it through their support for Israel. I mean, it's a completely lousy, rotten deal. I mean, the Zionists were quislings during the Holocaust, but they've now exploited it and used it to guilt-trip anyone who doesn't support Israel. I mean, that's a reality.
Now, what about the present-day Israeli state, though? Because a lot of people are pointing the finger at that and getting rather nervous. I mean, Netanyahu, as you point out in your article, says Israel is not a state of all its citizens, demonizing Israeli Arabs.
There's been
an election where we've got a finance minister who's quite openly saying he's a fascist and a homophobe.
Yes, that's right. I mean, Bezalel Smotrich is his name. He's in charge now of what's called the civil, but it's really the military administration in the West Bank. And he's an out-and-out racist. I mean, he openly said, for instance, that his wife should have the right to have a child in hospital without Arabs being in the same maternity ward. He said to Arab members of the Knesset that you are here by mistake because Ben-Gurion didn't complete the task in 1948 and expel you. Normally they deny there was a Nakba, but in this case he openly admits it. So, I mean, and then there's Ben-Gavir, who's been convicted in Israel, and it's incredibly rare for someone Jewish to be convicted of racism. He had a poster on his wall, Barak Goldstein, who went to the Ibrahimi Mosque in Hebron with an automatic and killed 29 worshippers and injured over 100. And he had a poster on his wall of this person. And now Ben-Gavir is the police minister in Israel, for God's sake. And you've got a Jewish neo-Nazi as police minister. I mean, Israel is just lurching to the far right.
Well, because you're saying they're a Jewish neo-Nazi. I mean, surely it's impossible for someone to be a Jewish Nazi.
Well, not if you're a Zionist, it's not. Because, of course, they always had sympathy for them anyway. I mean, the Zionists rubbed their hands with glee when Hitler came to power. There was only a section of Jewish community which did. But they sought to exploit the rise of the Nazis because they knew that Jews from Germany would flee and then provide settlers in what was the British Palestine Mandate at that time. And there's a whole series of, in my book, Zionism During the Holocaust, of people saying how welcome it was that Hitler came to power.
Well, look, I mean, surely, for any believer of in the Church of England, they should be, I mean, it's obviously Welby's not doing, but they should be looking at the state of Israel, this newly, now openly racist state, and saying, well, it should be condemned. And
absolutely.
Yet what's happened with Stephen Sizer, who's doing that, criticising it, he's been now sort of put on gardening leave.
Well, I think it's more than just gardening leave, because I don't think they're paying him. But, yes, I mean, the Church of England, instead of calling out the racism in the Israeli state, and in particular, the harassment of the Palestinian Christian Church. They say nothing about that, and it's very severe, the harassment, because Israel really doesn't want Jerusalem to be the city of three religions. It sees it as the Jewish capital, not a Christian or Muslim place. I mean, the UN in 1947, its resolution establishing the Jewish state specifically said that Jerusalem should be governed under a multinational regime, but that never happened because it didn't put anything in place. So you have the situation today where the other religions are under constant attack by the Israeli state.
Well, one of the things that Stephen's been doing over the years is doing various talks where he explains the reality on the ground in Palestine. The difference is, of course, you know, 99% of the public have never visited that part of the world. They don't know what life is really like there. They get everything they see, Tony, through the press.
Of course, and the press says nothing about the vandalism very recently at a Christian graveyard in Jerusalem, about the attacks on Christian priests. I mean, quite regularly people just spit at them in the street and assault them and so on. Nothing of this ever surfaces in the British press. The arson attack on the Church of Multiplication, for instance. The guy who went into the Church of Flagellation and took a sledgehammer to an ancient statue of Christ. All these things are never mentioned because, you know, Israel is the West's favourite watchdog, isn't it? I mean, that's really what its role is.
It's supposed to be, anyway. Can I also just ask you also, because we've got a bit of an interesting anniversary coming up this week in Ukraine, and there's a No to NATO meeting going on in London, which has had to be cancelled twice. It's a bit like a rave, where you're only told where venue's going to be just before it starts.
What
do you make of the first anniversary of this war? Because the Russians are saying, aren't they, that they're going to grab the world's attention this week?
I didn't know they were good. They'd said that, but yeah, I mean, it's really outrageous. Free speech is being abolished under our very noses. You can't speak out against a NATO offensive and a NATO war, because it is a NATO war. It's a NATO-instigated war in Ukraine, and all the massive damage it's been doing, not only to the Ukrainian people, of course. I mean, their country's been laid to waste as NATO fights a proxy war. But you can't speak out about that. You know, if you listen to the BBC, you'd never understand why the Russians did what they did, and if you like, sent armed forces into Ukraine proper. You don't hear about NATO expansion, about the breaking of the promises. All of this is kept quiet, you know. We have a censorship here in all the media.
Something funny is going on, because 2003 we had one of the biggest demonstrations the world has ever seen, in the UK, against the Iraq war, organised by the Stop the War Coalition. But now the Stop the War Coalition statement says the Russians must withdraw from all of Ukraine, including Crimea.
Well, if they do, I certainly disagree with that, because Crimea historically has been Russian. And it's up to the people in the Donbass to decide their own future. And if they don't want to live under Ukrainian tutelage, then that should be their decision. And that's what self-determination means. We supported it in Kosovo. Why can't we support it in the Ukraine?
Okay, Tony, whereabouts can people follow your work online and get hold of your books? What books have you got out there?
Well, my major book, which I've just brought out, is Zionism During the Holocaust. And all you'd have to do is email me at Tony Greenstein, Tony Green, STEIN, 104@gmail.com. And I'll send you details of how to order it.
And what about your blog?
Just Google it. It's www.azvfas.blogspot.com, or alternatively, tonygreenstein.com.
Okay, so that's AZVSAS. What does that stand for?
Dot, oh, anti-Zionism versus anti-Semitism. It wasn't my name. Someone set it up for me.
Okay.
I'm pretty clueless about these things.
Okay. So AZVSAS.blogspot.com or Greenstein. But whatever you do, don't use Google to find it, please. Find yourself a real search engine. How much is the book?
The book is £10 for paperback, £15 for hardback, and that includes postage, so it's a real bargain.
Okay, Tony Greenstein, thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, take care, Tony.